You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Looking ahead to Super Saturday on this edition, you'll be able to hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:35pm. John Gibby, Paddy Aspel and Andrew Mount, the team, in the studio. We've got superb racing at Newmarket, Ascot and York throughout the afternoon. The card at Newmarket includes the July Cup, of course. We've also got Chester and Newton Abbott in the afternoon, Hamilton and Salisbury in the evening. So a real busy day and some top-class action along the way. My name is Mark Walton, joined in the studio by Andrew Mount. To start with, what a Saturday of racing we have. It's one of the more insanely busy Saturdays that we have.
I think insanely busy Saturday is a much better description than Super Saturday. I think they should be plastering that over the front page of the Racing Post tomorrow.
Yeah, but it is good stuff, isn't it? You're never a few minutes away from the next.
Yeah, the first time I pundited for this meeting, I made the mistake of looking at every single race and then realising afterwards that I wasn't going to get a lot of time to talk about them.
Yeah.
Because it tends to be a case of, right, they've passed across the line at Newmarket, now over to Chester. What do you fancy here, Andrew? And they're off. And
that's it. It is one of those days, yeah. It's a little bit jumping from one to the other, but a chance to have some top-class horses in action and some top-class racing to have a bet on as well, which is always very nice. Just before we get stuck into the racing proper as well, I mean, the July Cup is one of those races that down the years, year in, year out, produces superb winners.
Yeah, absolutely, and very nearly gave me a big price touch in the Shape of Tropics recently. Dean Ivory's veteran just touched off at a big price. That was a bit of a gutter. That was, that might even have been last year, or was it the year before? 2015. 25-1 from 66 Tropics. Got beaten a nose by Muhara.
Yes.
Still hurts.
Yes, it would, wouldn't it? More on that in a moment or two. We're going to move on to this year's renewal very shortly, of course. But we've got plenty of other stuff to look forward to around that as well. So we're going to start at Ascot, one of the big meetings of the afternoon. The big race on their card, if you like, is the one of the big races is the Summer Mile, which is a Group 2 of who would have thought it, a mile. The betting headed by Beat the Bank at the moment, who's 3-1. Century Dream 4-1. Lord Glitters is 4-1 as well. 6-1 for Trey Fleur. It's 10-1 for Eminent. Soudoir is 10-1, or Suedoir, some people say. 12-1 are bigger prices for the remainder. First of all, Beat the Bank has been trying in Group 1 company of late and probably just not quite Group 1 level, but back into a Group 2 here.
Yeah, there's a couple of theories I've got regarding that. I think Beat the Bank is still capable of winning at the top level. The problem might be that he doesn't do particularly well in big fields. He did win his maiden at Dundalk, his first ever win, and his first ever race, in fact, in a field of 13. But since then, his record in big fields, 10th of 20, 10th of 15, 12th of 14, and last time out at Ascot, 6th of 15. Now, that was a pretty good effort. He went down by less than two lengths at 22-1. And you look at his record in single-digit lineups, nine or fewer runners, first, 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 first. So he's got the smallish field that suits. And I think you look at his first run this year in the Lockinge, Andrew Balding wasn't in much form then. In May, he had four winners from 94, less than a 5% strike rate. In June, he had 19 winners, and the strike went up to 18%. And so far in July, Andrew Balding's had seven winners, and again is running around about an 18% strike rate. So the yard's in much better form than when this one was beaten in the Lockinge. He ran well at Royal Ascot. Meeting trouble in a big field, which he often does. So with less runners to take on, a slight easing grade, I think Beat the Bank is the one to beat.
Okay, Beat the Bank, the one to beat at Ascot. Then, do you have any stats that would back up Eminence? Because it's a horse I've followed before the Guineas and the Derby, of course, last year. It's been pretty disappointing this term, yeah. But if he bounces back, I think he'd be entitled to get involved.
I mean, this was very disappointing at Chester in the Huxley Stakes, finishing last of five when the 8-13 favourite behind Forest Ranger got the run of the race from stall one that day, so it was hard to excuse. And then next time out, another comprehensive defeat, this time at Royal Ascot in the Group 1 Prince of Wales' Stakes. So, difficult to sort of make a solid case for, I thought.
Yeah, fair enough. So Beat the Bank, the one to beat in the Summer Mile. Let's turn our attentions to Newmarket now. The third day of the July meeting. We've got the July Cup to look forward to on that card, but we've also got the Bunbury Cup, which is a big betting race. We've got 20 of them. Or supposed to be 20 of them in the lineup for that 140. Seven furlongs is the trip, and at the time of recording this, Gilgamesh is the 7-2 favourite. 7-1 for Mubtasim. Mukalal is 7-1 as well. 8-1 for Maxim. Firmament is 12s. Spanish City 12s. 14s for MJ Jack or whatever it is. Yeah, Massam Star is 14s. 20s or bigger for the others. At bigger prices, Card Sharp attracting a little bit of interest. 25-1 into 20-1. And as is Von Blücher doing the same move, 25s into 20s. But Gilgamesh, much shorter than the rest of them at 7-2 in an open event. Are you for or against the favourite here?
Yeah, I've tipped Gilgamesh in Racing and Football Outlook this week. He was 7-1 at the time of writing on Monday morning, and I didn't avail myself of that price, and sadly he's a lot shorter now. But he found the drop back to six furlongs too sharp when 7th of 28 in the Wokingham was still only beaten a couple of lengths, and did meet trouble as well, but for which he would probably have been fourth. Before that, he won at York, when 5-1 favourite in a hot seven furlong handicap. Now, this is his trip, basically. You look at his seven furlong record since his racecourse debut. First. Fourth of 13 at Chelmsford when he was ridden patiently and just didn't have the run of the race. And then that Victoria Cup effort when he was seventh to rip off, when he won the race on the stand side when you needed to be drawn low on the far side. And then, of course, that York win. So, he's arguably unlucky to be not to be unbeaten at seven furlongs. I think he'll take the beating here.
Okay, Gilgamesh to take the beating in the Bunbury Cup. Any speculative ones? Any big outsiders you want to chuck in?
Last year there was a big draw bias in this race. Stall 19 beat stall 20, and the third and fourth places were drawn in stall 15 and 12. Now, on day one of Newmarket's July meeting, because they'd overwatered the stand rail, those drawn middle to high, and high in particular, were favoured. We've got some rain around forecast for Friday, so it'll be interesting to see if that draw bias is evident again. Now, if it is, you've got Mark Johnson's front runners, Masham Star, stall 18. Card Sharp, the one you mentioned, had been nibbled. I think he's in 14. And the aforementioned MJ Jack, who needs cut in the ground, he's in stall 20. Carl Burke's runners are flying at the moment, and MJ Jack can be forgiven his last time at Haydock defeat when a short price favourite, as he went off too fast chasing a very strong pace, and quite a few of the prominent races from that contest have come out and run well since. So if there is a high draw bias in place, then maybe MJ Jack or Masham Start.
Okay, a few to consider then if that is the case. But we're going to move on now to the big race of the afternoon, the feature race, the Group 1 July Cup. Six furlongs is the trip, of course, and the market headed by Blue Point at 100-30. 5-1 for US Navy Flag. Ektidar is 11-2. 8-1 for Dreamfield. Sands of Marley is 8-1 as well. 9-1 for Lomato and Redkirk Warrior, and 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. No surprise really to see Blue Point at the top of the market here for this one, Andrew, given his Royal Ascot performance when landing the King's Stand. But that was five furlongs and furiously run as well, so it's going to be a different test for him today.
Yeah, that cost me a few quid, because one of my systems is to oppose Godolphin runners in group sprints for older horses. They have a poor record. Blue Point sort of reversed that trend to some degree at Ascot, but I'd still want to take him on here. I'm looking at Dreamfield for John Gosden. This one was subject of a big gamble in the Wokingham, finished second to Bacchus after starting as the 2-1 favourite. Very impressive at Ascot the time before, making all. And he's drawn top of the shop almost in stall 13 of 14. Sorry, he is top of the shop, stall 14 of 14. And if there is a bias towards high numbers, as we suggested when discussing the Bunbury Cup, then maybe Dreamfield, although up in class, can make all here.
Okay. Also in the Godolphin Blue, of course.
That's right.
You're taking on Godolphin with
Godolphin. Yeah, I meant Godolphin trainers, as in Charlie Appleby and Side Bin Sirour.
Yes. Yep. Not John Gosden.
Or, Richard Fahey.
Yes. Dreamfield, the selection then in the July Cup for Andrew. And finally, the John Smith Cup to finish. That's at 3:40 at York. Wide open event. 22 of them were originally in the lineup. I think we've got a field of 20 left now with the non-runners, and the betting at the time of recording this headed by Dash of Spice at 4-1, 6-1 Thundering Blue, Kinran is 10-1, 12s for Appeared, Barocco is 12-1, 14s for Across Dubai, Master of the World 16s with What's the Story, 20-1 or bigger prices for the rest.
Yeah, this is a bit of a killer. 20 runners, but no obvious pace in the race, so that makes it even harder to dig out the winner. I was leaning towards Born to Be Alive for Carl Burke. As we mentioned earlier, the stable's in really good form. This one's only had a couple of runs since coming back from Dubai, finishing second in a listed race on soft ground at Doncaster before a ninth of 22, again from the front, this time over a straight mile on good soft ground at Newbury. Has got form over this trip and, you know, say, is a prominent racer. Sometimes a front runner might get the run of the race out in front. And others of interest include Master of the World, coming out of stall 22 for David Ellsworth, and Across Dubai in the first time cheek pieces for Willie Haggis, who of course does so well at York. Mm. But I'll go with Born to Be Alive at this stage.
Born to Be Alive, a 25-1 chance then in that race. The selection for Andrew, of all of that, what's your strongest opinion?
Beat the Bank. He is the shortest price of the four, round about the 3-1 or 7-2 mark.
Yep.
But I think he can maintain that 100% record in single-figure lineups.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andrew. Very best of luck. And you can, of course, join the team on Saturday. They will be live from early doors as well. The meeting at Ascot starts early. So do tune in from 12:35. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast. And enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.